Praise be Jesus and Mary. For most of the time of the liturgical year, the church leaves ample space to the preacher to decide what he should preach on and for how long he should preach. But during Holy Week, the church in its rubrics for the liturgy specifies that the preacher is to be brief. And on some days, in fact, tells the preacher exactly what to speak of. Today, on this Good Friday, the church doesn't specify the subject, although the subject presents itself as rather obvious, but it does tell the priest to be brief. So I'll try to do that and share just one thought with you that would deserve a lengthier exposition, but nevertheless, I'll present it to you just in short. You might be surprised, you might not be surprised, but if we look at our Lord on the cross, if we look at the scene of Calvary, if we look at our Lord giving his life for us, we can, and I suggest we should think, and we should remember, that it really did not take that much to forgive human sin, and to reconcile man with God. This is, of course, not to take away anything from our Lord's death for us on the cross. Quite the contrary, it's to help us appreciate it all the more. It was a death not out of any necessity, because it really did not take that much at all to forgive human sin. Much less would have been sufficient, and yet God did far more than what was strictly necessary. Franciscans particularly are staunch in their position, and again, this could be spoken of at length, this theological debate about the exact nature of the redemption and what it took to redeem us. Allow me just to say that Franciscans are staunch in their position that we really attribute too much to man, to ourselves, when we say that the redemption somehow require the incarnation, that our sin was somehow so great that God had no choice but to become man and no choice but to ask the life of his son to reconcile us with him, that our sin was somehow so great that God couldn't do anything short of that. Franciscans are staunch in saying that's not the case. Forgiveness of sin for God is not hard. In fact, sin creates no obligation for God. Sin has no power over God. Sin is utterly useful both to God and to ourselves. Our Lord freely did this much for us, though he did not have to do any of it to redeem us. He could have done much less, and it's precisely in the fact that he could have done much less. The Franciscans, you don't have to remember this name, but Blessed John of Scotus says, our Lord could have delegated Adam himself to be the minister of the redemption. Sin is not hard for God to forgive. Our sin is not infinite. Our sin is evil. It's horrendous. It's awful. But it's not hard for God to forgive. And it's precisely because it's so easy for God to forgive that the passion and death of our Lord appears as something so great to us, that our Lord did much more than what was required, infinitely more than what was required, precisely to make us feel indebted to him all the more. He sent not a servant, but his son. He could have sent a servant. He didn't. He sent a son to do the work that a servant could have done. The concrete takeaway is that it's not hard for God to forgive our sin. After all, sin is what? It's nothing. We attribute much too much to ourselves when we create a picture of sin as almost a contending reality with God, something that God has to struggle against. We struggle against sin because we become attached to nothing. We become deceived very easily and think sin is something, whereas it's nothing. It's the absence of God. It's the absence of good, and we become deceived thinking that there is something there where there is nothing. And it's not difficult for God to fill nothing with himself. He can do that very easily. So today, when we look at the crucifixion on this Good Friday, as we prepare ourselves to adore the cross with which and on which our Lord redeemed us, I suggest the following, that on the one hand, we be grateful to God for having forgiven our sin in such a super abundantly generous way, and keep our eyes focused on the super abundant generosity of God, so as to be confident that it is not hard for him to redeem us, to sanctify us, to free us. We should not see the death of our Lord as what it is sometimes presented to be, an exhibition of the extravagant demands God makes to repair for sin. The crucifixion is not that. It's not an exhibition of our Lord's extravagant demands or God's extravagant demands to make reparation for sin. Rather, what is it? It's an exhibition of God's superabundant mercy that gives us far more than what is required, far more than what is necessary, far more than what is deserved. He did not do this because he needed to, but because he wanted to. Not because sin is hard to forgive, but because God is generous in forgiving it. And with his help, with the intercession of Our Lady who takes us to the foot of the cross, we can overcome our sins. It's not a difficult thing if we only allow God to be God in our lives. If we trust him, allow him, do not resist him, but let him love us with his superabundant love and mercy. At this point, the homily is over. The liturgy continues now, and on Good Friday it's unique, as you have already noticed. At this point, after the homily, we go into the intercessions, precisely because of the superabundant redemption that we receive in Christ. The Church prays for the world and for its needs, for people that we know, for people that we don't know. There's 10 lengthy intercessions that the Church makes to God, precisely on this day in which grace is so abundant. So let's keep that in mind as we transition from this portion of the liturgy to the next, to the intercessions, and I invite all of you to prayerfully enter into them and to pray with confidence to our good God.